gentlemen, it's time for the Action in the Main Attraction here on the Sweet Science Class.
What's up, everybody, and thank you for joining today's episode. Today, well, I feel like we just watched This Is 40, but I ain't talking about the Paul Rudd movie. We're talking about the new 40-year-old beast that even I went against and predicted against and thought he would lose this fight. Manny Pacquiao looked like definitely not like he was 40 years old. He went in there, if you did not see the fight, 12 rounds of action. It was actually a very entertaining fight on both sides. Thurman did his thing, and it went to a split decision. The old man dropped Thurman in the first round. It was a pretty epic war for, like, I can't emphasize it enough, an old 40-year-old man. And I'm not saying necessarily 40's super old. I'm only about 7 years away from that. But in the fight game, and in boxing, you know, especially boxing, when you get up to 40, it gets rough. If you're not extremely defensive, it can be rough. So that is one of the many reasons I went against Manny. I wasn't rooting against Manny, but I picked against Manny. But I don't know. Throughout the fight, I found myself kind of rooting for him. You just see the old man doing his thing. It felt really good to see. So we're just going to dissect that fight. You know, what we thought about it, how Thurman did, where Thurman goes from here, where Manny goes from here. I got Jakeem and Felix standing by as always. So what's up, fellas?
What's going on, Sweet Science Class? Hope y'all had a great weekend. It was some great fights. We're ready to talk about this 147 and what's about to happen.
Yo, what's up, fellas? Man, what a weekend it was. What a weekend. Let's get to it.
Like I mentioned, I had picked against Manny. We actually all did. If you heard the last episode, all three of us, we picked against Manny. I got to give a shout out. Got to, because it's the truth. The fourth head of this, you know, Mount Rushmore team is Landon Johnson. You don't hear from him a lot. He hasn't appeared on the podcast. He probably will in the future. He's the head of our riding team. He picked Manny, you know, way in advance. He's been saying Manny. The three of us would tell him why Manny was going to lose. It didn't deter him. He stayed with his Manny pick. And, you know, shout outs to Landon. He actually called it this entire time. The three of us picked Keith. We thought it would go decision like it did. Thought it would be a unanimous decision. It just, Manny was not playing around at this age. Whichever one of y'all wants to jump in, just jump in. What were your thoughts of the fight? Because I know we all had to be a little bit shocked considering we picked against him.
We picked against him. Like me, I went with just pure logic. Like you got the younger, stronger, bigger fighter going against the 40-year-old Pacquiao who hasn't really had much competition, you know, his last two, three fights. I mean, Horn roughed him up, but man, to do what he did against Keith Thurman, like, it was surprising, and I was shocked. And then, kind of toward the middle of the fight, I kind of found myself rooting for Manny, just because, you know, his story and what he's done for boxing. But, you know, after that first, man, to get a, he made a statement by the first round knockdown, I think. After that first knockdown, I started thinking on something like, man, just leading up to that moment, like, Pacquiao, like, you could see it in his speed. Like, he had that spring. He had the quickness, speed, like, everything, like, how he looked like 10 years ago. You wouldn't even know he was 40 just by looking at that fight. As it got towards, like, the middle round, I think I gave Pacquiao the first four out of five, I think. Towards the middle, it was getting close. And Thurman, I think he kind of made some, I didn't like what his trainer was telling him in the corner. I don't think his trainer was helping him at all. But you kind of see him kind of turn on the switch, like, in the middle rounds. And the fight kind of became closer until, like, the 10th round when he got hit with that body shot. We all know, you know, we spoke, I think Felix spoke on this, how when he gets hit to the body, he doesn't like it. And it almost was identical. I think it was the different side when Collazo hit him. But it almost was identical. His reaction was identical to Collazo. But actually, this time, it looked like did he take out his mouthpiece?
He pulled his mouthpiece out. I was telling, I think, Felix today, I've never seen a reaction like that. Body shot destroyed him.
It was crazy because they didn't even the commentators, they didn't even think it was a body shot. I think one of them thought it was like a headbutt or something. But
by his reaction, I kind of thought it might have been a headbutt. And then when they went to the replay, I was like, no, sir.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like I said, Collazo kind of hit him the same way. He didn't spit out his mouthpiece, but he'll put his hand and start backing up and moving around the ring. And I thought it could have been over right there. So I think at that moment, he was kind of closing in on Pacquiao because, like I said, the later rounds, Pacquiao age started the show, even though he looked great in the first, like, 6-7 rounds. But as it got later in the fight, Pacquiao kind of slowed down a little bit.
He did slow a bit.
Yeah, he slowed down. One thing I noticed about Thurman caught Pacquiao, I think I counted, like, 3 good times. He caught him solid, but he never capitalized. And I'm just thinking, like, is he tired? Like, what is it? Like, he didn't have that extra gear. And I seen reports of Broner talking about him staying out late, gambling, something like that. And I seen video. I don't know how true that is, but it didn't look like he had that second gear that Pacquiao had. Yeah, Thurman, he didn't look like he didn't have that second gear to finish the fight when at the moments that he caught Pacquiao on the ropes. And if it wasn't for that 10th round, the body shot, I felt like he probably could have closed it in and maybe got a draw, but I mean, he didn't finish it. Pacquiao, he looked spectacular. It's just crazy. Like, it was, even though, you know, I picked Thurman to win, it was a good night for boxing, and it was a great fight. And I didn't like the split decision. I felt like Pacquiao should have won. UD, the other judge that had Keith Thurman, I think, what was it, 114 and 113? I don't know how he got that score, but I mean, overall, it was a good fight, and I'm glad they got the decision right.
Yeah, it was a great night for boxing. You know, one thing I saw in the fight, you know, opening round, Manny did get a knockdown. But one thing I didn't like is in the replay, they didn't show his Keith Thurman's feet. I think it was more of a flash knockdown. And that's not taking anything away from Manny Pacquiao. It was a punch that put him down, but I think a lot of it was Keith's footing.
That's exactly how I felt that night watching it live. I wanted to see the foot replay, and then they didn't show it.
Of course they wouldn't. You know, they don't want to take anything away from their boy. But I understand. And I feel like the first half of the fight was all Manny. And what's crazy is I think Keith Thurman was actually winning that first round, and then Manny, you know, got that knockdown. So
he was.
Interesting. And then I felt like kind of halfway through the fight, the tide started to turn. And I felt like Keith Thurman, which he should have done from opening bell, and I thought he was going to do from opening bell, was not just move backwards. Because the thing about Manny Pacquiao, I think the blueprint is out on how to beat him, and that's to make him go backwards. Because Manny can't fight going backwards. Manny's a straight shooter. And I feel like Keith Thurman started to do that. It seemed like his offense was his defense. I felt like when he was really offensive, he wasn't getting hit as much. So when that body shot happened, that totally took any kind of momentum Keith Thurman had going into that the championship round. That body shot took it away, dude. And I gotta commend both fighters, man. I gotta commend Manny. I was wrong. I ate my crow. But let's not act like this is something that's gonna happen all the time. You know, Manny Pacquiao is an anomaly. Most of these defensive fighters, or should I say, most of these guys fight beyond 40 are defensive fighters. Or a lot of them are big heavyweights, big strong heavy, you know, big powerful heavyweights. Very rare that you see a guy who's relied on speed and reflexes and footwork and all that fight and win a championship at this age. This is an anomaly. So, yes, I'm giving him his credit, but as far as, like, the media and the fans and all this, like, oh, you were wrong and this and that, like, yeah, I was wrong, but the pick that I made was using logic. I used strictly logic. It wasn't my heart. It wasn't my, you know, my gut. And I feel like a lot of people that pick Manny, it was more of a gut pick, which is nothing wrong with that. Hey, sometimes I make gut picks too, but let's not try to be like, oh, you know, you don't know what you're talking about type stuff, because we analyze this shit. This is what we do. As far as the result, I think Manny did deserve a unanimous decision. I feel like it could have been like an 8-4, 7-5 type fight. I felt like a lot, there was like three or four rounds that were really close. Now I'm just ready to see what Manny got going on next. But another thing, I'm anxious to see what Keith is going to do next, because I'm tired, like I said, fans, media, whatever. A dude gets a loss, and we're already writing him off and talking about he should go retire and do all this. Dude, this is boxing.
That's crazy.
Maybe one champion not named Floyd Mayweather or Rocky Marciano or whatever that doesn't have a loss, and I'll sit here and wait. Like, let's be serious. Manny Pacquiao, as great as y'all say he is, which he is, I'm not taking nothing away. Like I said, great fighter. He's an all-timer. He went from maybe being a top, he was in your top 30 to 50 all-time. You can argue that he's a top 10, top 20 now. You can argue. Just based off accomplishments, based off longevity, everything like that. I mean, the weight class, the eight weight classes, I mean, you can't argue that. But my thing is, you can't build a guy up and say he is so great. Just, you know, and the guy he beats, you sit here and say he's trash. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, you can't have it both ways. If your fighter was so great, then he obviously made another great fighter look bad, or he defeated another great fighter. That's all it is. We got to stop this social media era of memes and all this, basically taking everything away, like taking all of Keith Thurman's accomplishments away from him because he lost to an all-time fighter. Keith Thurman still beats 90-95% of that division. Let's be serious. He's still a great fighter. He still has an opportunity to get another belt. He's only 30 years old. This happens, man. Like, I remember back when I was growing up, nobody ever talked like that. When a guy lost, it was like, oh, man, who's he going to fight next? Oh, I wonder, is he going to get a rematch? He's going to, like, it's just the whole boxing has changed, man. I don't get it. You got people, like, making fun of Keith Thurman. Oh, look, he got a busted nose, busted his lip, things like that. Oh, he got knocked down in the first. You know what I saw? I saw a dude get knocked down in the first round, embarrassed in front of all these people, in pay-per-view, everything, by a 40-year-old dude. Got back up, fought his ass off, almost came back and won the fight. But until, like I said, that 10th round, he was bloodied up. And I saw a dude that displayed heart. I saw a fighter. I saw a true champion. But everybody else, I guess they don't see it. It's funny because we praise guys like, you know, Arturo Gatti or Eric Morales, Barrera, Mickey Ward. You know, these guys that go in there and they get all jacked up, bloodied in the face, and win or lose these fights. And oh, they're warriors. But then Keith Thurman does it, and we're kind of dogging them. It's just... boxing's funny like that, man. I'm just,
yeah. Like
I always try to stay. I took this advice from Dustin, man. And it after a big fight and stuff like that, the next day, just kind of stay off social media, because for every good thing you're gonna see like 10 stupid things. And that's my rant. That's my rant for the week. Other than that, man, it was a great card. You guys look badass. It was a great day. I mean, there was fights on DAZN, all that. So I'm not complaining. I'm just complaining about the aftermath, and I don't mind being wrong if it's a badass fight, and that was a badass fight. And I'm boxing is in such a great place.
Jakeem, feel like you kind of wanted to maybe follow up on what Felix was saying.
Yeah, and it's not a big deal making a bad prediction. Like, we predict football games, baseball games, basketball games all the time, but it seems like with boxing, it's more personal. And like you said, people dogging Keith Thurman out for losing. He's trash, he's this and that, because I've seen a lot of that too. And it's like, yo, as boxing fans, this is what we want. We want the best fighters fighting the best fighters. So how are you going to dog anybody out for taking the L, the first loss? Like, just enjoy it. Enjoy that they fought each other, because if they didn't fight each other, you would have said, like, oh, Keith fought a bum, or Manny fought a bum. But then they fight each other, and people still complain. So let's just appreciate the sport, you know, and cut all that nonsense out.
Yeah, I want to see all of them with losses to each other. You know what I mean? I want to see, like, a gauntlet in one division of everybody fighting each other. Like, you know, I'm not these – and y'all know, I'm not these guys that live in the past. When I bring up the past, I'm not like, oh, back in my day type shit. No. What I'm saying is – like the best fought the best. And I'm not talking about 60s and 70s. I'm talking about just maybe just in the 2000s, in the 90s, man. The best fought the best. Everybody had losses.
The big four, Hagler, Hearns, Leonard, Duran, all had losses.
Mm-hmm.
Manny has losses.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. The guy that they're praising and making fun of, the guy that they're praising has more losses. Keith Thurman's probably never going to get 6 or 7 losses. He's probably never going to fight 70 fights either, so that's irrelevant. So, but still,
man, he's
got losses. He's got losses, man. He's a meme. He has memes. Like, come on, man. But yet, we still praise him and all this, but then Keith Thurman, it's such a wishy-washy fan base, man.
I think boxing fans are the most, like, day-to-day, fair weather, you know, rip him today, love him tomorrow. It's just so back and forth, pick and choose. I don't get it. I thought Manny did amazing, and I thought Keith did really good. He won some rounds. I mean, he was coming back. I thought he was coming back, but yeah, that body shot took his soul. It floated out of the building, and from then on, it went back to Manny. But I never saw Keith quit. I never saw Keith give up. He took his mouthpiece out, did a weird dance, but he stayed in there. So I have no complaints with Keith. He lost. He was very humble about the loss. He took it like a G. I'm all for, you know, I've never been like a huge Keith Thurman fan, but I enjoy watching him, and I thought he did good. I salute him. Manny was better. I salute the old man. I'm shocked he looked that good. I had said if Manny wins, my jaw won't drop. I'm not going to be shocked. And, you know, my heart was kind of telling me Manny. The kid in me was telling me Manny. But like Felix said, I just went with logic. And I definitely don't mind being wrong. It's cool. I troll when I win, and I can take the roasting when I lose. It's all good, baby. The fight was amazing, and that, at the end of the day, is all that matters. And where does Manny go from here? Spence Porter winner?
I think he needs to stay away from Spence. I think he needs to stay away from Spence and Crawford. I feel like anybody else, he has a chance. I don't know Sean Porter. That might be a really ugly fight if they're just coming forward. I don't know how that would go. I don't know if Manny would want to take that kind of fight. I know they used to spar back. They have a history of sparring and doing all that. Danny Garcia, I don't see that either. I feel like...
Actually, I saw a video with Danny's dad saying that they think they might be next.
Wow.
Could have just been talking.
I think everybody's trying to throw their ticket in the hat, man.
He's like the new Floyd.
You think Floyd?
Well, just because everyone wanted to fight Floyd. They wanted that big money. And right now, Manny and Canelo are the two hot tickets right now.
Yeah, they definitely are. I think Danny might be a little too strong for Manny. I don't know. I feel like he'll come at him. And we just talked about, like, I feel like Pac-Man's picking guys who, and there's nothing wrong with it, man. You're 40 years old. You can fight whoever you want. You have a legacy. But he's kind of tailor-made. And if he was in a fight, one of the top 147 guys, one of the top guys, Keith Thurman is kind of the one that looks beatable because of the layoff and all that. Even though, if you look at Keith Thurman, he's probably fought the best competition at 147 compared to anybody at 147 on top. I don't know. You got Mikey Garcia. I think Mikey would be a great matchup. And we know Mikey has that Mexican fan base. And Manny has one fight left with PBC. That might be a smart move to fight somebody with such a large fan base like Mikey. And y'all brought it up last episode, which I laughed at, was Amir Khan. We explained last week why that is. I don't even want to talk about Amir Khan. I don't even know Eric. But but no, I mean, out of those guys, I would think Mikey is the best logical pick.
Probably so. I think it'll be Mikey, Danny, or Amir.
I think it's going to be Amir, but I think the best, if they want to make the most money and all that and sell out, I think it's Mikey. But I just have a feeling that they're going to pick Khan.
Well, me, honestly, I said before the Keith Thurman fight that that he didn't really even need to fight. Like, I wouldn't be mad if Pacquiao retired.
I wouldn't either.
After this fight.
It's well deserved, like, at this point.
Yeah, like, why not go out on top? But the John Elway or the Ray Lewis.
Yeah, like, he probably won't. Next contract, I think he's going to take it.
He has to fight. Probably. Yeah, probably has to fight one more time or pay a bunch of money.
You think so? Like the contract?
There's one more fight on the contract.
Oh, he has one more fight on the contract?
Yeah. That's what Felix was just saying. So he has to fight one more. So maybe go out with the biggest bang possible. Maybe a Mikey pay-per-view. Maybe. Dallas Stadium. Or, Manny Margarito was Dallas Stadium.
He says he wants to fight next year, and I don't want to sound like a casual, but Cinco de Mayweather.
Nah, I don't want to see that again. like I said about Khan, Mayweather, you know, he needs to sit down too. I don't want to see Mayweather in the ring. No, I didn't want to see him in the ring in the pre-fight with Thurman and Pacquiao. That pissed me off. Like, just get away from the ring as far as possible.
We'll watch it, though. We will pay, and they will make the most money that they can make.
They will, but Mayweather's, what, almost 44? 43? Like,
He's 2 years older than Manny.
Yeah. So he's 42?
Probably,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, I don't want to see 240. So I would Pacquiao. I think any other fight, because we got to remind everybody, Thurman was out for like 2 years, so that kind of was, I wouldn't say the easiest choice, but you know, we kind of took a low risk because these other guys, I think, can beat him, or it'll be a rough fight. Even with Porter, he probably can beat Porter, but that'd be a rough fight for him.
I think he could beat Porter.
But just the roughness of the fight, like, it'll probably take a lot out of him. At 40 years old, a fight like that, a dog fight.
Yeah. Because, you know, I'm not going to lie. Even though Manny won that fight, Manny did look older. Nobody can deny that. He doesn't have
to. Later in the rounds.
Yeah, like, because, man, Manny I know from first round to 12th round was the same guy.
Yeah. But
you can see now that Manny, he wears out late in the rounds. He is, you know, he still has those spurts. But I feel like he was losing his legs late in the fight, and I think a lot of that had to do with just fighting a guy so big. I mean, a true 147 pounder, and that's why I would think Sean Porter, man, I don't know, even though he's one of the smaller other guys, he's rough.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He don't need that type of fight at over 40 years old, you know?
Yeah, that is a good point, because I do agree that I even said to Dominic, who was here watching with me, I think it was around the 9th. And it was when I thought Keith was making his comeback before the body shot from hell came. But Manny's, like, even his mouth at times was kind of open. And he had, and I even said to Dominic, I was like, he's making like a weird facial expression at times that I'm not used to Manny seeing. I think he is getting a little fatigued, which is fine. He's 40. He's freaking 40 years old. But, we're not used to seeing that. So Manny's going to be one of those things where every fight, I almost may pick against him from now on, you know, just like we did, because he did slow down a smidge, and who knows when that extra smidge and the extra, you know, when it'll finally tip off, just like we always, you know, when will Tom Brady kind of lose that arm and the accuracy? It's got to come soon. That's kind of how I feel. Before Saturday, I would have picked Porter over Manny. After seeing what I saw, I give him definitely a great chance. But, yes, he did start to tire out a little bit at the end. And if you've got a monster coming at you for 12 hard rounds, I don't know what the outcome of that would be. Manny's very interesting right now at this age. It makes it very interesting.
I think it makes it interesting, too, because he has that one fight left. And it's like all these guys know, like you just said, Angel Garcia – put his name out. He put Danny's name out there. This is a lotto ticket. Everybody's trying to get in line, man. I mean, even Errol Spence on his last fight had Manny Pacquiao into the ring because they know this is their ticket right here, man. This is to get to that next level and become a pay-per-view star, because that's what happened in the past. Remember De La Hoya Mayweather? That was kind of the passing of the torch, and then you kind of had a Canelo, even though Canelo lost, but I feel like he kind of, everybody kind of says he gave him a little lesson and kind of, and he also put him out there. You know, if y'all remember, Canelo was on every single Mayweather undercard.
Yeah,
he was always a co-main event for a long time, because Oscar would put him on there because they would co-promote, and it was kind of a passing of the torch. Well, Canelo, know, Canelo's, I feel like Canelo's kind of got his own lane. He's that big right now. So you have Manny Pacquiao, and people are trying to see, like, who's the guy at 140? Who's the new guy at 147 that's going to take this torch and be the pay-per-view guy? And that's why they're all throwing their name in there, because if you can fight Pacquiao, all these, most of the people that are ordering these pay-per-views and talking about the fight after don't even really watch boxing. But if you fight a Manny Pacquiao, they'll know who you are. You know, I'm asked to do that by Manny. You know, the last fight, he beat Manny Pacquiao. That's why these guys are trying to jump to that opportunity.
Yeah, because, yeah, Thurman kind of blew his chance. Yeah, the one who gets in there and convincingly beat, maybe hurts him, stops him. Yeah, you take that torch, you kind of, you retire him. It almost makes me wonder, we discussed this last week, you had brought it up, and I was kind of iffy about it, but seeing how he looked, I wonder if Crawford's changed his mind on not wanting that, because he didn't think he'd get the credit. I just wonder if that performance would convince Bud to fight him, because Crawford, Pacquiao would, I don't know.
He has to change his mind now, after that performance, and Pacquiao's hot now, a big win, and he's showing that he still got it at 40, beat somebody like Keith Thurman. That got to change Crawford's mind.
You would think. Like, Broner's one thing, but yes. What he did Saturday against Thurman, I don't know. You would think it would make him want to come out.
It's almost like Bud needs this fight.
He really does.
You could think about it, because all these other guys on PBC can just keep fighting each other. It doesn't matter. Manny might be PBC, but Manny is Manny, and he also did business with Bob Arum, and if there's any... I don't know. This seems like the most possible if they do, because there's so much money to be made that there's more money to spread.
You're right about that.
And I feel like, man, Bud might need that fight because he's wasting his best years. He's beating, I mean, we know how good he is. A lot of hardcore boxing fans know how good he is. But I'm afraid that it's going to be a situation like, I think we talked about recently, like, Chocolatito, where, like, everybody was hearing him, like, hardcore, and then they finally, HBO finally put him out there and try to put him on main events and stuff like that, and then he kind of faded out really quick. We don't want that to happen to Crawford, man. Every boxer ages, and if he's already 33, 34, how many years of this type of caliber boxing are we going to get?
He'll be 32 in September.
32, so you give him, I mean, once you hit 35... 34, 35, it's kind of that crossroad.
This would be a great fight because Bud's stuck on, like we always say, on the wrong side of the fence with Porter and Spence and all those guys over there. But you beat Manny, they gotta fight you.
Because now you're the new pay-per-view guy.
Yeah. They really... this not even crossed my mind. This all just kind of happened organically on air. Yeah. This is like... I think this is the thing that needs to happen. Bud needs to really kind of go for this. I don't know that it will, but that would be awesome.
Yeah, it's a business move. We can't have the best pound-for-pound fighter in boxing not be a pay-per-view star.
Well, what's wrong? Like, he has the machine behind him. He got ESPN. I compare, like, boxing and contracts to, like, record labels back in the day. You know, when you get a big record deal, you rapper, you get a big record deal, like, you got the machine behind you to go platinum. So it's like, what's wrong with Crawford and ESPN? Like, I don't understand. I understand, like, the stable.
The difference was, is like, when you're with a record label, you can make a song with another dude with another record label.
True.
You know, and then it's like, there's so much, I don't know the business like that, but just me being who I am, I'm like, dude, there's so much money out there. We can all get money.
Exactly. If they came along for the Mayweather and Pacquiao, I know Pacquiao and Crawford won't make as much money as Mayweather and Pacquiao, but still, like, there's money to be made.
Yeah. And it's more of an investment, because what you're doing is, okay, you want Spence, you want Porter, you want one of these guys? Okay, like Manny Pacquiao, get that pay-per-view, get that recognition, defeat Manny Pacquiao, get another belt, and now PBC kind of has to fight you because, you know, you have a majority of the belts. And not only that, when you think about the negotiation, like, if you have a fighter that is the number one pound-for-pound pay-per-view fighter, you're going to be more prone to try to make a fight happen you're with another network, rather than, oh man, I got all the guys. Because that's what's going on right now. Al Heyman and all them, they know that they don't need Top Rank. So that's, they're not even, there's no negotiation even going on. It's just, Crawford, like I said last week, he's the little kid sitting upstairs. He broke his leg right before summer break and looking out the window seeing all the kids play. This got to happen, man.
They need to make something happen. I don't want to see Crawford age and us not get to see him in the big fights, at least with Spence.
What about Thurman? What about Thurman? What's next for Thurman? Because, you know, I just said, man, it's not the end. Thurman's still in the mix, man. He's still one of the best 147-pound fighters out there. And if Manny Pacquiao's as great as y'all say he is, he's not fighting trash fighters. So, this guy's still in the mix.
Yeah, I just like to see Thurman really against anybody. I think they should throw him in with a guy with, you know, maybe a few losses. I'm hearing, like, I think someone might have mentioned it earlier, Broner's being talked about. They both have lost to Manny back-to-back. Broner's talking crap. That would be okay, I guess. I would just like to see Thurman active, I think, within the next 6 months, just as long as we see him fight and not disappear again.
I think his next fight will be maybe like a tuna fight. And then I wouldn't mind seeing him against somebody like Ugas, because Ugas right now, he's kind of stepping up there. Like, a lot of people think that he had a draw with Porter, or he actually beat Porter. So, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Ugas and Thurman, like, in about a year. So now, but Thurman just needs a tuna fight.
I was even thinking Ugas Crawford would be really cool after Ugas' performance Saturday. Well,
that would be nice, too.
That would be really nice. But, man, back to Broner, man. Why is Broner snitching? He's over here putting his business out, like, oh man, Keith Thurman was gambling and doing all this. Man, shut up. Right. Like I said, man, a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah, he did put all his business out there.
Lifestyle advice from Broner. Come on, man.
Broner, I don't think Broner and Thurman would happen, because Broner was saying that he wants to stay at 140. I seen that interview. So, yeah, I don't think he'll ever fight that man.
Like 143, 144. They're going to call it the Adrian Broner division, the 143 division, 144 pound.
I'll be very shocked if he makes 140, but that is what he needs to do. He'll have better success there. Maybe. Maybe not.
I think he ate himself out of that division.
Well, I guess that about wraps up the Keith Manny show, mainly the Manny show. Like we said, congrats to Manny. Props to Keith for fighting all 12. It was a good, tough, entertaining fight. I think it was worth the pay-per-view price for sure. Should be no complaints there. The undercard was great. And speaking of cards, don't forget this Saturday on DAZN, live from Texas, it will be the 140. Speaking of 140, and Broner better watch it. Getting into a division with some beasts. You got the 140 unification match. So excited. Jose Ramirez versus Maurice Hooker. Someone's O's got to go. Someone's taking the other's belt. Very exciting. There's a good undercard underneath that. Tevin Farmer's on there. Joey DeWedgeco's on there. Unfortunately, Gassiev pulled out of the fight, but DeWedgeco will still be fighting. So it's going to be a very, very entertaining DAZN card. But I'm telling you, that Hooker-Ramirez fight, it doesn't get any better. Undefeated versus undefeated, both champion. I almost have no idea who's going to win. That is a 50-50. It gets no more 50-50 than that. What are y'all, are y'all excited for that fight before we get out of here?
Yeah, buddy. And when is Tank fighting?
Saturday, too. This Saturday as well on Showtime.
That's what I thought. I'm looking forward to seeing Tank, even though it's not against somebody that I really want to see him against right now, but... Hey, man, I just want to see him active. I want to see him active, and as long as he's active, big things will be coming for that kid, man. I really like Tank.
Yeah, Gamboa's on that undercard, too, so it's actually going to be a pretty good night of boxing. And side note, I don't know that it'll matter. They may never fight, but I do find it interesting that Tank and Farmer are fighting on the exact same night. Just throwing that out there. They're on the same schedule.
Huh.
And
that could,
Tevin,
that means they'll need another fight coming up soon.
Yeah, and Tank's already turned down a one-time $5 million DAZN fight with Tevin. I'm sure that was Floyd, but I know Tevin wants it. They've been talking. They're fighting on the same night. I hope it's a sign. And yeah, it's just going to be another really good weekend of boxing, coming off a really good weekend of boxing. Y'all got any goodbyes, shout outs, anything like that?
Same old, you know, just keep following and liking the page. Shout out to our writers. I mean, they've been killing it lately. Y'all haven't seen them, they're getting mad likes in the group. One thing I've noticed, and I just want to throw this out there, not to steer this anywhere, but I just want to welcome all the new people that I have never seen in my life, ever, that have been in the group forever, that just pop up, you know, and when the boy wins, welcome to the page, I guess. We hope y'all stay more active and not just comment and post when your favorite fighter's fighting. We would like y'all to be active, you know, with other topics and things like that. So good to see y'all crawled out from under those rocks and showed your faces on Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, man.
Yeah, man, shout out to all the writers. They're doing a good job on the articles. Like, I'm loving them. I know everybody else is showing love on the page, and showing love to the writers and stuff. And, man, I just want to say it's been a good summer of boxing. So many fights almost every weekend, big pay-per-view fights. We got still another pay-per-view, but I think that'll probably be, like, at the end of the summer. Probably be kind of fallish. But, hey, man, it's just been a good summer.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it kind of feels like it's, I can tell when it's not that busy in the sport by how much we work on the page and all that. And it feels like we haven't had a break in, like, maybe I think we've had one break since like April.
Yeah, since like April.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, we're on a good streak. When I'm, like we've said many times, I remember waiting all week for maybe two fights on a Saturday night, and that was it. And we're very spoiled nowadays. I love it. And yeah, like they said, our writing team is killing it. I really can't thank them enough, give them enough praise. They're doing their damn job. And yes, follow the page, you know, follow our podcast, subscribe to our YouTube channel. The website is currently in the works. We got a major announcement about the group coming up later this week. It'll be in the group. So if you're listening to this, I will do a live video in a few days and break some stuff down there. That's pretty big, coming up on our 2-year anniversary. And yeah, we just appreciate everyone following us, and we appreciate everyone who supports the Sweet Science Class.